James chapter 3 and verse 1. As we're entering into the section about our littlest member of the body that causes so much problem, called the tongue. James 3 and verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. King James opted for the word stricter condemnation. And if we take that serious, I think we're going to flee from being a teacher as fast as we possibly can. But I don't think we take it so serious. Yet I think James meant it seriously. I think that God means it very seriously. The function of teacher is to lead others in the way that they believe, the way that they have learned. And if it's wrong, we're in trouble. I want to walk through a series of scriptures for this purpose. First of all, James is teaching as he even writes this. So he is a teacher, saying, you know what? Don't run after being a teacher. On the other hand, all of us are teachers. Every one of us has somebody watching, somebody listening. That should call us up a little bit short too. You know, oh yeah, that's right. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, most likely has a lot of background. I want to look at a few reasons that a warning like this would be given, and then I want to look at the positive side of the teaching as well. But the reason for the warning, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that theirs is the greater judgment. I'd like to go back to Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. We'll begin in chapter 7. This isn't just James' idea. James probably didn't. I don't know. He might have heard Jesus teach the Sermon on the Mount. We don't really know. But the Sermon on the Mount material, I believe, was taught again and again for the 3 years that he was in public ministry. I get that idea from the Gospel of Luke. But in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, as if they belong to him, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Telling forth truth about God, proclaiming truth about God. In your name cast out demons. In your name perform many miracles. And the crux is, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. And I always like to add my little comment there. It's not that they knew him for a little while. He says, I never knew you. Even while they're doing all this, and some of it is in the form of teaching. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Chapter 12 of Matthew, 34 to 37, he's talking to scribes and Pharisees specifically. 12:34, Jesus said, you brood of vipers. Now, we're starting off with a negative this morning. Hopefully, we're getting in with some positive. You brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Not my tongue's thought. It came from my heart. It came from my mind. The word heart and mind are always, it seems like, intimately associated. It just comes out my tongue. The mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. And then on the positive side, the good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And there is so much vileness that's available to present in a custom package of teaching. Smooth talking, brilliant minds, and their source is evil. But it's not packaged that way, or you wouldn't ever listen. It's packaged as if it's good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word, and this is in the context of teaching, every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, or shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. I kind of take this seriously. Chapter 18 of Matthew, beginning at verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Because they've been arguing about it. He called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted or turned and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Now here it comes, the warning. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. They are every direction you turn. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man," individually, one at a time, "woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes." Let's go to chapter 23 of Matthew. "Be not many teachers, for theirs is the greater judgment." Matthew 23, Jesus pronounces a bunch of woes on the scribes and the Pharisees. 23:1, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses.'" In other words, the law. They are proclaiming the law. "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. It's from God through Moses. But do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them." There's a lot more about them in this chapter, but go down to verse 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, even while for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive greater condemnation." They shut off the kingdom of heaven with their words, with their teaching, and with their action. If they're speaking out what is in the law of Moses, do it. Otherwise, it is completely off. Go to Luke's gospel, one place in there, chapter 11, that I would like to highlight. Luke chapter 11, near the end of the chapter, because it's very similar to what we just read. Luke 11:52, "Woe to you lawyers, experts in the Mosaic law, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You do not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering you hindered, and they do it with their smooth-talking words. No wonder that James would say, let not many of you become teachers, because theirs is the greater condemnation. Please turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, Paul is talking about others that are also proclaiming the gospel while he's in prison. Philippians 1:15, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some do from, some also from goodwill. On the positive side, verse 16, the latter do it out of love. The negative side, the reason for warning, or knowing that I'm appointed for the defense for the gospel, the former, verse 17, proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I meet with a group of guys every week, and we've spent quite about the last 4 weeks in 1 Timothy 1, especially verse 5. But verse 6 and 7, for this case, the negative side, the warning, for some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. Some cases it will sound like this, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not said. Wanting to be the ones that direct through the scripture. They had the Old Testament, but now it's fuller. It's the New Testament. And every cult that has had anything to do with Christianity uses this same Bible. But again and again, they put spins on it. So it says that which it doesn't say, in order to direct people the way they want them to go. So reasons for the warning. There's a few of them. Reasons for there to be teachers. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. James was teaching as he wrote that. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles. So this is God investing the gift into the church so the church will function. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Remove those gifts that God has invested, and you're going to have people just struggling along one at a time, doing everyone doing their own thing. Well, my opinion. And then you end up at truth is relative. What is true to you is not true to me. This is true to me, so it's truth. Well, only if you use a different definition for the word truth. You must, in order to arrive at that crazy place. But God has made sure not only that there are apostles and evangelists, or prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, but he has equipped them with his scripture, his baseline of truth, his fundamental foundational place to go from, inspired by him. This is our directive. It's when they're appealing to, well, I had some golden tablets and I'd read them. or whatever it might be. Keys to science and health, for instance. Stuff that's supposedly inspired because it's so ancient. Bhagavad Gita. Or whatever. God has given us what those people, and most of them, are leading by teaching. So that we'll grow up, mature in Him. Colossians, please. So turn to the right. Colossians 3. Directive for us. Beginning at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, or act as arbiter in your hearts. We're going to be looking at that out of Romans 12 again this morning, or this thought. I wasn't going to turn to this passage, so you can keep it in mind. Seeking out the peace that Jesus offers, the peace that he can bring between people. Let the peace of Christ act as arbiter in the heart, so that it gives directive and judgment. Is this decision or this word I'm about to speak going to bring peace, or is it going to bring further fractions, further fractioning, static, separation, division? Let this happen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As I'm communicating scripture about the living God, and whether it's in psalms, whether it's singing it, whether it's proclaiming it outright, it's to the building up. It is doing this, of bringing that peace and maturity. It's God's way. It's when I start highlighting other stuff. Other stuff maybe in the Bible, but obscure. Yet that becomes my highlight distinctive. That's when I start going sideways. Drawing men after themselves is what the false teachers do. That's what Paul warned about to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. Men will come up even among you to draw away the disciples to themselves. They're going to be condemned. They're going to fall under judgment according to what Jesus said and according to what James is warning about. So be careful. We need a teacher who wants to sign up first. Right? Wait a minute. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer. And I would say especially if you're going to teach. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak, teaching about Jesus, so that ones would truly come to faith in Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:5. We were close to it a few minutes ago. One 5 talks about the purpose or goal of our instruction. And this should be the question mark that any teacher of the things of God would ask. The goal of our instruction is that everybody might have this result. It's got three results. One goal, three aspects. Love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith? Is that what we're striving toward? Or is it my goal just to impress more and more people? Is it my goal just to impart heady information? What is my goal? To convince people of a certain denominational distinction? Theological distinction? Or is it stuff that has to do with love from a pure heart for God and for people? A good conscience, nothing to hide. Striving for what is right, and a sincere faith. The sincerity of faith comes in a couple different angles. One of those is nothing included with it to dilute it and destroy it ultimately, corrupt it. But it's a faith that is only on Jesus, and it's real. It's not pretended. It is sincere. So from this list on both sides, positive and negative, no, negative and positive, since we started with the negative, and it's not exhaustive, these are just some choice little morsels, I conclude that judgment will come against teachers for two things. One is content, and one is motivation. Now let me stop and you start. What are your thoughts? Additions, questions? What do you think? Yes, ma'am?
Well, while we were reading this last verse, I don't want to say it's God's mission statement. The goal of our instruction is love, pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith in God.
Okay. I love that mission statement. Good title. We're going to end with one in a few minutes from the book of Psalms. Somebody else. So, thank you, Wanda.
Well, it's kind of that scripture there, Wanda, made me think of something that was told to me. I've never listened to this pastor before, but his name is Joel Osteen. And I've been alerted to his ministry. And the first time I heard of him was through a person that was in our lives that we had been trying to minister to. And they came and they were like, "Oh, it's so wonderful, I found the pastor." And I said, "Oh, great, where'd you find?" "On the television." And he said, "And the good thing is he doesn't talk about all that sin and stuff and condemnation. He just talks about love." And he said, "That is his ministry."
And money. Yeah.
There's a balance.
Yeah. Yeah, the same individual, about the same period of time, informed me that he was one of six of the enlightened people that are on the earth right now. Not Joel Osteen, but him that's listening to Joel Osteen. Now, that's one name.
And we can mark him.
He needs to be marked. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Sabina, go ahead.
If we just share from our heart, and it comes from the Bible, and from your heart, I've talked to a lot of people about Jesus, and it just comes out of my heart, but I'm going to say,
okay.
I don't play around. I say it how it is.
And Sabina, the only warning I give there, not to you specifically, but to you, to me too, we need to look at the scripture and test to see if that's accurate. because I can take a little bit of something and spin it with my feelings, totally sincere, and be wrong. Are we handling the scripture accurately? But I think what you were saying, and I appreciate it, is just sharing Jesus in the simplicity of his love and who he is. Yes. And some are at a place, Sabina, where that's all they can hear. Not all the complications that some of us tend to bring into it. Just in simplicity. So thank you. Elizabeth, go ahead.
I would just throw out there that love looks like something.
Yes?
Really, to express love and to, you know, have that fruit of love, there's evidence. It looks like something.
Good.
Somebody is, you know, just smiling at them in the grocery store or letting them in front of you. And maybe, you know, consoling your child or, you know, buying somebody a meal or,
yeah,
you know, doing something for somebody when you don't feel like it. But,
so that sounds like James chapter 2, Elizabeth. Huh. Go ahead, Rod.
I think what I'm getting pounded on this morning is the cop out of, I don't need to worry about this because I'm not a teacher. And just the realization that we are teaching 24/7.
We can't help it. It's there. Whether we intend it or not, right, somebody's watching.
We're either exposing Christ or we're trying to hide him. One or the other.
You talked about motivation and content. You said content and then motivation. But I think the content is going to be driven by the motivation. And so if your motives are pure, if your motives are to love Jesus and to encourage people to love Jesus, like your content's going to be aligned with the plumb line of the scripture. If it's not, then you're going to be the false teachers, you're going to be everything. You're going to be the con men who seem to inhabit TV quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
In okay. My personal opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with what David just said. As I look at this text, it seems as though the emphasis is on the motivation of the one who is instructing. It's not all the instruction itself. Now, that doesn't mean we excuse bad instruction. That's not the point. The point is, why am I instructing on this? Why is it the Apostle Paul takes on some very, very heavy issues theologically? Divisive issues. His motive for doing it must be anchored in his love for those to whom he's teaching. And that's where I think we sometimes get into trouble. It's not what is being taught as much as it is why, and maybe how it's being taught.
Yeah, I think all of the above is included in those scriptures we walked through. But yeah, there's tests. The Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2 that had left their first love, but what they had done right is testing those that claimed to be apostles and found them false. They weren't.
And Paul tells us to test the spirits, see where they're from.
Actually, John, 1 John 4:1. Test the spirits because they're not all from God. I'm going to mission statement. I like that. Go back to Psalm 114, please. And this is just maybe, is that what I wanted? I don't see it. Uh-oh. It was 141, sorry. It was in my brain, not on my notes. 141, there we go. Inverted some numbers.
You say Psalm?
Psalm 141, verse 3. As a prayer, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. keep watch over the door of my lips. And then the heart comes in. Do not incline my heart to do any evil thing, and so forth. But what about that as a bit of advice for me as a teacher? Lord, guard my mouth. Guard my mouth. Set a door over my lips and shut that thing if I'm about to say something that's wrong. I have said it a number of times over my lifetime as a Christian, but again this week to somebody. My biggest hesitation about writing a book is if in the future I might see that it's wrong or that part of it is off. I can't retract it. When I teach, if tomorrow the Lord shows me something that I taught wrong today, man, I got most of your phone numbers. But the ones I don't, they're out there and potentially going to propagate what I've taught that's wrong. And in some cases, the student, Jesus said it about the scribes, their students that they go over land and sea to get become twice the sons of hell than they are. I believe in the 60s we should have learned something, and I hope you understand it's been happening over these last weeks or months. In the 60s, so much of the university protests against the Vietnam War were inspired by the professor sitting back in his classroom safely. It's happening now. The one that propagates it, sitting back there smooth and easy. And the student is the one that carries the torch and runs into the crowd with it. That's what happens with teaching as well. And so I think from this one verse out of James and many verses in the selection, we ought to take it very, very seriously. You know, are we aiming toward purity of Christ? Are we aiming toward the living God and truth? And can we leave room to be wrong? I like that loophole. It's my understanding right now, but I might change my mind tomorrow. There are some things that are absolutely foundational. There's no question about it. But there's plenty of others that we tend to add our opinions, our feelings, our something we picked up from somebody that is wrong. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Okay. Yes, we're all teachers, but this is about a position of teacher. This is about a function of being the teacher in a group that the warning is coming against. Yes, we should all take it personally. What are we communicating? But we better be very certain about the one who is teaching and not be that if we've got a wrong motive or a lack of understanding about God. That would be my conclusion from this brief verse. My wife has something. Yes, ma'am?
Nothing to do with the subject, but I just got a text from Agatha and she is asking for prayer. I don't know if you guys remember, she in the last several years has asked for prayer for her friend Stephanie. She was, they were not married, but her boyfriend, guy, whatever, pretty dysfunctional for years, and Agatha was involved, was asking for prayer. They have split up for a while. It turns out that she ended up being in the crucible with the guy David, who was the ex of Stephanie. And she's always praying that God uses her in her interaction with people. And it's a longer story, but she ended up having some very good interaction with one of the actors. And then the up, who's a believer, but has a long story. Anyhow, those two started talking with David, And now David has asked to go to church with her to be at the church.
Today.
And he has serious issues. And she texted me and asked me for prayer because he's going to be with her.
David has been at times so despondent and hopeless that he's suicidal. Let's pray for David right now. Thank you, Father, for the scripture and the way that you, Holy Spirit of God, use scripture to bring enlightenment to people, to bring life and hope. And we pray that for David today. We pray that your work, Lord, you've been organizing this, you've been orchestrating it through this play and through some years of friendship with Agatha and other believers. And Father, we pray that today would be the day that David would give over to you and realize the hope and the life instead of the hopelessness. Father, we pray for your mighty work in this man's life. Father, give Agatha the wisdom of words or the wisdom of silence. Give her that smile at the right moment and this other couple that was going to be going to church too, I think. And this ex of David, Stephanie, who is going to the same church, Lord, just work this all out for kingdom stuff to be done today. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. Thank you that we can unfold this and have the application. Help us to take it personally, take it solidly, and Lord, be ones that would seek to know truth and not settle on anything less. And Lord, if you want us to teach it, then God, I pray that the motivation from the heart would be right and the content would be accurate so that we can lead people closer to the saving knowledge of Christ and growth as disciples. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.